So, it is my privilege to be able to welcome you to our guest preacher today, Christian Back. Christian, could I ask you to come forwards? Let me say a few words by way of introduction. Christian is here with his wife, Kyleen, and his two daughters, Lily and Sadie. They are staying with us over the weekend. Yesterday, we welcomed them into Hamburg, typically by walking around the whole day in the rain. So it's a good welcome to our fair city. And then we ate a lot of chocolate after that in the Chocolate Museum. I don't know if you've been there. It's well worth it if you like chocolate. So last Sunday at our membership meeting, we entered into a partnership with Christian's Church in Denmark. We voted to support them as missionaries. Christian Back is the pastor of Koinonia International Church Fellowship in Aalborg, Denmark. And so we are privileged and honored that he is going to stay with us. We're entering into this partnership with their church, and he's now going to preach for us today. So let me pray for him, and then we can hear from Christian. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words you have placed upon my brother Christian's heart will enter and speak into our hearts today. Lord, you are welcome here. You are welcome, Holy Spirit. I just pray that Christian will speak the words with authority, with freedom, and with the power of your Holy Spirit. You've laid a burden upon his heart, and may he proclaim you, Jesus, as our Messiah, as our Savior. May you give us ears to listen. May you convict and challenge our hearts today through my brother Christian. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. It's good to see all of you. Well, I can't see you because I can't see that far, but it's good to see all of you, and thank you so much. I mean, James told me yesterday, I didn't even know, hey, we are supporting you. I was like, oh, thank you, great. So from our hearts, from our family, we're just so thankful that you do that. My wife, Kyleen, and I and our daughters, we are missionaries in Aalborg, Denmark, and we reach out to internationals like you guys do. And so it's so encouraging to come here and see all of you from all over the world reaching out to the nations. And that's also on our hearts, and we've been doing that for some time now. We're also caretakers of a Danish Baptist church where we live on top of. That brings blessings and challenges. One week we had power went out and a leaking roof and different things, and people are calling me, what should we do? It's like, I have no idea what you should do, but maybe we should call somebody who knows what they're doing. Also, we have another connection. Henry, where are you? Henry. So Henry, my friend, I haven't seen him in 14 years. I saw him yesterday, but Henry was in Aalborg studying 14 years ago. He was at the church I became the pastor of now 14 years ago. So it's just wonderful to know that. And I've gotten to know James, and I finally met his family. I was not sure, did he really have a family, or did he just say he had a family? But I finally got to meet his family, and my wife is not going to stop. It's not a comedy show. I know, but I'm getting to the sermon. Just the introduction. No, it's been wonderful to stay at their house. My one daughter was concerned. She's like, I said, we're sleeping in their basement. She's like, are we sleeping in the basement? What does it look like? It's a nice basement. And they had ping pong there, too. So it's been really a wonderful few days. And also, actually, I also got the pleasure to meet the James's president. Press is the guy who was the pastor before James. So the English language is sometimes hard. So I got to meet Dan and Claudia also, and so we have some little connections to the church here. But it's my first time here, so I stood up, and so thank you for welcoming us and our family so much. I try to just have one goal in all of my sermons. And people are like, you have just one message. Yes, I only have one message. And that is to point to Jesus. that you would leave after this service. I hope you already are. Like, I was just so encouraged through the many announcements and no, I wasn't. But through the songs we had together already, just being reminded about who Jesus is. And so if you hear my sermon and hear condemnation or you should do more, that's not my heart at all. My heart is that the Holy Spirit, through the words I will bring, would have you lift your hearts and your eyes to see Jesus as much more beautiful than when you came in here. And so we will do that today through it's Palm Sunday. We'll read the Palm Sunday text again. This time we read it from Matthew. And Matthew is so like, Matthew is all about telling how the Old Testament is going to be fulfilled. So he does that all the time. He also makes the non-Jews the heroes all the time. Not really in this text, but that's just other parts where he does that. So I'm more than 40 years old, so I'll put on my glasses. So if you are more than 40 years old, you can put on your glasses if you want to. No. So we read the story from Mark and... No, not Mark. He's Matthew. Matthew. The other guy. And I titled this A Suffering Servant or a Mighty Warrior. I just remember... I'll come back. No, I'll come, sorry. We'll read the word and then I'll come back to it. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two of his disciples saying to them, go into the village in front of you. Immediately you find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them. And he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of beast of burden. And the disciple went and did as Jesus had directed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks and sat on them. Most of the crowd spread the cloak on the road and cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Who is this? And the crowd says, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. For us that know his story, we're not so maybe amazed about what happens here. But this is, I should leave my glasses on or else I can't see my notes. For us, like, oh, it's Easter week. It's going to be great. All our expectation is that Jesus is going to die on the cross and rose again. This was not the expectations of the Jews at all at this point. This was a high-tension week for everyone in Jerusalem. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people that did not live in Jerusalem was congregating onto Jerusalem to celebrate what? To celebrate Passover. The God had delivered them from the curses of Egypt and delivered them from their oppressors. The angel of death had passed over their houses and they did not die, but all the Egyptians' firstborn died. And they were taken out and delivered out of Egypt. This is all happening while the people of God are occupied by the Romans. If you're a Roman, this is maybe not the most encouraging time to be there. The Jews are celebrating a time where God judged the people that were suppressing the Jews and kicked them out. All the Jews are remembering this promise, and they're looking for God to show up as the mighty warrior to kick out the Romans. There's much dispute about how many people was there, and some people don't trust each other and something, but there's a lot of people there. A lot of sheep was going to die to take away people's sin. Some guy, he's maybe a little bit optimistic, Josephus says 250,000 sheep would be offered that week. This province was a troubled province already for the Romans. And when you see movies about this, the Romans are getting nervous. They have lots of soldiers there because the Jews had uprisings. They did try to throw off their deliveries. Their oppressors. That's not the case for all Jews. Some Jews had made pragmatic decisions of like, hey, we got to get along with these people. I'm going to be a tax collector. It's not a popular thing to be, because you like sold out your people. But even the religious figures had made deals with the Romans that they could be in power. And they were like even concerned about Jesus, that if Jesus was not rocking the boat too much, that they would lose their power. Those people are not even looking for a savior. They forgot all about the promised Messiah. What's going on in the text? Is this just innocence? You know, there's a guy on a donkey coming down a hill, and you see the sound of music. Like, there's is this just an innocent act? What was Jesus doing? Two points or more. Like, you probably shouldn't trust the guy when you see, when he's up here with the microphones. I'm going to have some points, and I'll be done at some point. But the first point is that Jesus asked him, and this is maybe what will be confusing to be Jesus' disciple. He will ask you to do something. Hey, we don't have money for taxes. Peter, go down and get a fish, and then the fish has our taxes. And then you'd be like, most of you are like, does that work now in Germany? I'm going to have to pay. No, I don't. I think I was specific for that moment. No, and here the same thing happens. He tells his disciples, go in and get the donkey. And they find the donkey. And even then the lady who read before, you're going to say this, and then they're going to let you go. So being with Jesus for 3 years, and he tells you to do things, and they come true, you got to be like, this guy, who is this guy? When he walks on the water, is this even a man? Who is this? His disciples are still, they're hoping. They're hoping he's the mighty warrior. No one hopes he's the suffering servant. They have the Old Testament and the prophets. In the Old Testament, yes, there is the mighty warrior that's going to come. But there's also the suffering servant songs from Isaiah. From Zechariah, as the prophet quotes, we have him coming humbly to his people. So is this innocent what Jesus is doing? No, he is proclaiming, I am the Messiah. So that's troubling for everyone. That's troubling for the Romans, because a new king is coming to town. It's not Herod that's a vassal king who grew up in Rome, and they can maybe manipulate him however they want. No, this is another king claiming to be the Lord. So we read there. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. He is humble and mounted on a donkey, colt of the foal of a donkey. Now, if you read Zechariah, this is not the only picture of the coming Messiah. There's a lot of the warrior who's going to make all things right, gather all things to people. But in Zechariah, there's also the suffering. There's also the suffering shepherd who lays down his life for the people. But I think the Jews were so pressured. They're so occupied by the Romans. They're just like, we've been in God. You have all these people are oppressing us. We need you to come as a warrior and throw these people out. This is what we see. This is outright rebellion of the Jews and the people that are following Jesus. They're proclaiming a new king is coming. The guy is going to come in and be the king. He's going to save them from all their oppressors. The Romans would be like, we're just going to kill you all. But even the Pharisees and the other people, the religious people, like, they're nervous because, like, if that's true, we have to submit to that guy on the donkey. We're not doing that. That's why they shout. That's why they shout what they shout. They shout, "Save us, God! Hosanna! Save us now!" But they are getting their hopes up. The disciples, the crowd around Jesus that goes down the mountain, they are getting their hopes up because when Jesus is going to come in, he's going to be the king. And they are like, if we read on a little further, like things are going so great. He's going to come in and he's going to clear the temple. He's going to beat everybody up or make a whip and then chase them out. He's going to reform the whole system from corruption in the temple. It's going to be made for a house of prayer for the nations. And then he's going to sit up and he's going to sit on the throne. Right after he has taken up his double-edged sword and killed all the Romans and drew them out. But that didn't happen. Because most of his disciples don't understand what Jesus was going to do. But their need was so strong. Okay, I don't want to blame them at all. They needed a savior. So do we. They needed someone to come and deliver them. They just forgot that God was going to do it in a different way. That the Messiah was not going to be the one that he wanted him to be. Instead, Jesus was, for them and for us, the Messiah that we all needed. In Jesus' first coming, the Son of God comes and he lives humbly in obscurity. We know very little about him. Very humble. No sin. He lives 30 years. He's always obeying God. He shows who God is to people. And as he steps into his ministry, he shows people who God is. He starts healing what sin has broken. And the thing that sometimes I don't know if we remember about the first coming of Jesus around Christmas is that Jesus is the most humble person ever because the Lord of all, worshipped always, becomes a small baby, helpless, enters into a broken world that was made through him and for him. He enters it in. Jesus experienced suffering, hurting. He was thirsty. He was hungry. He was tired, often misunderstood. He was betrayed. His family didn't really know who he was. So if you're sitting there like, man, I want a warrior king, I want a suffering king, I want a God who understands me. Jesus knows. Jesus knows exactly. The greatest difference from believing in Jesus and all other religions is you don't work to be good enough for God. We don't make a stairway up to heaven. Jesus comes down. Because we can never climb up. Our good deeds would never be good enough. Jesus was the one we all needed. But their focus of the people at that time, they were just like, man, we need a savior. We need a savior. We will look over the passages of scripture that talks about the suffering servant. Many of you know Isaiah 53. Even in Zechariah, there's also the passage about the one suffering for the to save the flock. Now, is Jesus then not a warrior? No. He is also a warrior. Just like we're saying he's the lion and the lamb. What do you mean? What did he do first time? Yeah, he didn't kick out the Romans, but who did he kick out? Satan, sin, shame, pain, guilt, took the wrath of God. All the things we deserved, he took on himself that we could be set free. A mighty warrior, willing to suffer. Jesus did deliver. And this time it was not just delivering for the Jewish people. What maybe the Jews also kind of forgot all the time was the promise that Abraham was given. What was the promise? That all nations would be blessed in the seed. And the seed is Jesus. So salvation just not becomes one group out of oppression. It becomes all people who would ever come to Jesus will be delivered from sin, Satan, shame, pain, and guilt, and all the things that we've done to rail against God. He goes on the cross to die for those things. The shepherd who lays down his life. Remember, so powerfully in John, Jesus doesn't get killed. He gives his life for us. And it was why are you talking about Zechariah all the time? I went through it not that long ago. And even in there, in Zechariah, there's a promise that God would make even the enemies of his people, the nation that his enemies, he will remake them and they will become the people of God. And why is this so important? Because how many of you are Jews? None of you. So the promise is not just for one ethnic group. The promise in the Bible is that all nations will be blessed. All nations, whoever will believe in Jesus, can be saved and come and be a part of God's family. As we enter into Easter week, we have this section where Jesus, in great rebellion against the Roman authorities and the religious authorities, claims that he is the Christ by sitting on the donkey and walking in the John account. They're like, tell the people to be quiet. And Jesus is like, if they were, the stones would cry. Jesus knows the future. He knows what's going to happen. He fulfills the prophecies. He knows this is going to happen. This should not be unknown, and it's not unknown for you, and it's not unknown for the reader of Gospels, because at least three times he says to them why he's going to Jerusalem. I'm going because I'm going to die. But I will raise again in 3 days. And so when we're sitting here, and if you're new, somebody wanted to ask, where is Jesus? Is he coming to the service? Like, was not sure who Jesus was. And it's like, no, Jesus, he comes in on a donkey. You're going to talk about it all this week. He sacrifices himself on the cross and dies. But the good thing is he doesn't stay dead. He rises again. And then after 40 days being seen by many people, he rises up into heaven. And where is Jesus now? He's seated at the right hand of God in power. And he's praying for us. He's interceding for us. He's waiting. He's saying to the Father, can I come back? Can I come back as the warrior we talked about? Because he's coming back as the warrior. He's coming back with a sword and all sorts of things, and he will fight. And everyone's going to, what's going to happen? Everyone's going to slam to the floor, be on their knees, because when Jesus comes in glory, you can't do anything else. So he's there interceding and praying for us. Then the smart Sunday school student will be like, I know all these things. Great, fantastic. I hope your heart is super encouraged. Now I'll start asking some questions that might be a bit more difficult for you. Where do you need Jesus as a warrior in your life? For some of you, if you are very Western, you actually don't like this notion. You are comfortable with Jesus sitting with children and sheep and being your savior, but not that he's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he has demands for you every day, and that he will ask you that he is the Lord. He's the warrior king. Depending on where you're at, you're very comfortable with one or the other often, I find. If you are in a situation now where most things are well for you, you think, or not, it's harder for you to think about, well, how do I actually live my Christian life? Because I have a car, I have a job, I have things are going pretty well. And yeah, but Jesus calls us to get up every day, die to ourselves, and follow him. So Jesus is not a king like we just got a new king back in Denmark. I don't know if you followed. Everybody loves that king. Why do they love him? He sets no demands. He has no power. You can make him in your own image. I was appalled. I tried not to yell at the screen. There's thousands of people praising this person who has no influence in their life at all. Because that's what people want as a king. Like, I can do whatever I want. It's like, that's not Jesus. Like when we commit our lives to Jesus because he saved us, we give all of us to him. It's not like, oh, I just do whatever I want. No, but like if we believe that Jesus in this week comes and he dies for us and he shows us who God is, he's a Lord and God, and I will do everything I can to serve him. He is my king. If you have bents like me, you might not have any problem with Jesus being a warrior. You think that is an underestimated, it's not taught enough in church. Because why do we need him as a warrior? Because sin's still crouching at the door. There's like the prayer thing you talked about, the prayer thing you're going to do, man, you need Jesus being a warrior there. You need Jesus to confront those things that are bad. You need oppression and things to cease. We need him as the warrior. Those things is under Jesus because he's the warrior who takes those battles. If you are oppressed by people and different things, you have no problem with Jesus as the warrior. No, but Jesus is both. So you're like, I like the warrior guy, but I don't like I have to love my enemies, and I don't like that I have to be nice to other people, or not nice, I have to be encouraging to other people and stuff. I just like Jesus, like John and James and John. Hey, Jesus, can we just kill all these people with fire from heaven? And Jesus is like, no, that's not how we do it. So because if you are only focusing on this part of Jesus, you are neglecting the other one that actually you're relying so much on, that Jesus had grace and mercy towards you and took away your sin. But if you're only over here and never serious about sin that is over here to fight it, as Paul talks about in Romans, then you're missing something. So I'm just arguing that whatever version of Jesus you have in your head, if that's the suffering servant, remember he's not just a suffering servant. He is, but he's also a mighty warrior. That when we fight with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can put sin to death. That's what we've been asked to do. Also remember that as God and Jesus showed us kindness and mercy, we are to show other people kindness and mercy. And Jesus is not like schizophrenic. He's one person. And so the thing I just wanted to bring to you today is like, who do you see, like, no, just a small question. Who do you see Jesus as? Do you over focus on one, neglect the other? What can you do to put those things together? Did you have a more full view of who Jesus is than what he does? That you can be encouraged, like, maybe you're even afraid of this Jesus, and maybe you think this Jesus is dumb, but how can you engage with God and be like, okay, show me more of who you are so I can live this out? Some of you are more timid, you don't want anything to do with any kind of violence, even though it's good. And then some of you are thinking, this is a wimpy guy, I don't want to be him. The thing is that Jesus is both. He's the suffering servant. He's also the mighty warrior. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one, the Messiah, the one they didn't know they needed. Jesus is the everlasting God. Do you know Jesus? Do you know all of him? I pray that you do. But if you're here today and you don't know, the story today and the story of this week is so important. It is what the Christians would call the good news, the very best news. I said it one time that God created all things, and then we messed everything up as humans, and something needed to happen. So God sends his own son to pay for that sin, and pay for the rebellion against God. That's paid by Jesus living the perfect life, dying on the cross. But he did not stay dead. He rose again. Ascended into heaven. He's coming back. The most perfect view we have of God is in who Jesus is. You might just say, okay, great. What do I do? You believe. I can't make you believe. I can tell you a story. But the Holy Spirit can make you believe. So I say, if you're not here and you don't know Jesus, just close your eyes and pray. If this guy with the weird glasses up there is true, is telling the truth, that I can be saved from the wrath of God and have eternity with Jesus. If this is true, let me know that you are real. So I ask that you would do that. And then for all of you who are believers, well, I hope and pray that my little encouragement here from the scriptures have enlarged your hearts towards Jesus and towards one another. That listen, yes, I do believe this. And maybe I didn't believe it as much on Tuesday because I was having a fight with people at work. But I believe this. This is what I want to live out. This is, yes, I was encouraged. I want to praise the Lord with my whole of my life. And now I say praise the Lord. Then we gathered for the right things, that Jesus will be praised and you will be encouraged. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that I mean, you made all things for us. Still, we rebelled against you and did all sorts of things. But you had a plan in your eternal counsel to send your son, Jesus, to deliver us. We had no idea what Savior we needed. But Jesus, you are the right one. I pray for anyone here who doesn't know. I pray that you would draw them right now. As they're seeking you, Jesus, you would draw them to yourself. You would make yourself known as real and give their life to you and walk with you from now on. Be disciples and walk with you. Lord, I pray that you would encourage your hearts and minds right now to know more of who you are, Jesus. That you were the suffering servant who took the wrath of God, who laid down your life for whoever would come. And you conquered Satan, sin, and death, and you rose victorious, showing that when we die, we can rise with you and be with you always. And I pray for the moment that as we live in this world, you would encourage our hearts and minds to live this good news out that other people might see. And they will come and glorify you as well. Lord Jesus, you also know we cannot do this on our own. So we ask for you, Holy Spirit, to fill us, to encourage her, to enable us with great joy to live these lives where you are the Lord, the true King, the sovereign servant, and the mighty warrior. We ask that you do those things to your glory, to your honor, in Jesus' name.